This morning we're talking about being good stewards, and you know, of course, the month of November, you guys all know the only thing I'm interested in is your money, amen. And it's okay. That's a inside joke. Obviously, it doesn't go very far. But I'm going to give you 7 biblical principles for being a good steward. Now we need to understand what a steward is, and if you just look at the simple definition of a steward, it's the activity or job of protecting and being responsible for something. Look what it says: the activity or job of protecting and being responsible for something. And in this case, if we are God's steward, then we are protecting and being responsible for the things of God. Amen. And what does that look like? Because you know the truth is, guys. If we're going to take care of what's God's, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is God's? And if we come to the conclusion is everything is God's. Amen. God owns everything, and he owns the cattle on the hills, and he owns everything. And so we have to understand that when God blesses us, and by the way, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen. And so if we look at everything that we have to figure, we have to figure that it's a gift from God. So let's look at the full definition of stewardship. The office, duties, and obligations of a steward. The conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted, look at these key words, guys, entrusted to one's care. And so what is God entrusted to your care? Well, I will tell you this, that God has entrusted finances to your care. If and you say, Pastor, is that all you're going to focus on this whole month? Yes. So now you know what to expect when you come next week. And because here's the truth, guys. Sometimes we get hung up on our finances, and people sitting here will go, oh, I can't come to church next week because I got to work, because I got to make money. But yet you won't trust God. But in the same breath, you'll say, I love God. And the thing is, guys, by the way, listen, I'm going to talk about money, but what you do with it, that's between you and God. Because the truth is, this ministry is going to go on. God will see to it that his church goes on. God will see to it that the finances are there. He has never failed us. I think back to when we first started the church back in October of 2006, and you guys know we just celebrated our 10th year. And there was a couple that was in the church, and they were being ungodly, and they were our biggest tithers at the time. We were 2 months old. We were 2 months into the church, and the truth is, without their tithe, we could not pay the rent. And if you can't pay the rent, you don't have a building. And if you don't have a building, it's kind of hard to come together. Amen. And so I remember that they were just being ungodly. And I went to them and I said, listen, you guys need to understand that we will not tolerate this. I will not tolerate it. And as your pastor, this is what you're doing. And this is ungodly. And this is what I expect from you. And if you can't do it, then this is the expectation as well. And so it became like the husband does this. I mean, I'm sitting there, we're talking, and I look down at my Bible just for a minute, and as soon as I look down, see, this is all calculated stuff, man, and I just wanted to poke him in the eye for it. But either way, I look down at my Bible for a minute, and he slams the table, bam, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I was like, you know, I thought he shot me, and he carries a gun, so, you know, I'm like, it's over, you know. I didn't know what to expect. And he said this, every church we go to, it's the same thing. And I went, then you should realize it's not the pastor, it's you. And right, that's what you want to do, right? You just kind of like, how do I get your attention to wake up? So either way, I said, well, listen, guys, you need to settle this and take care of it, and you need to be godly, and I expect you to make these adjustments. That was on Saturday. On Sunday, they came in and they said, Pastor, we're leaving the church. Why? We can't sit under your leadership. Oh, because I won't allow you to be ungodly. And so somebody came up to me and they said, you need to go say you're sorry to them so they come back because we need their money. And I looked at him and I said, this is God's church. And he says to keep it holy and to keep it righteous. And if he wants to keep the church, he'll make sure the money's there. We don't need the ungodliness. We don't need the headache. We don't need the heartache. We need righteousness. And that's where we're going to stand. And so afterwards, I went to the Lord and I said, okay, Lord, you understand that, well, Lord, you understand we need the money. Because without the money, we can't pay the bills. If we can't pay the bills, we don't have a church. If we don't have a church, why'd you call me out here? Like, let's just get down to the nitty-gritty, right? Yes, I made it about me. And so I said, nevertheless, Lord, we're going to do what's right. And so they did. They left the church. And obviously they took their money. They didn't go, hey, let me just keep giving you our money. So they took their money. And I said, Lord, this is your church. And I'm not going to lose an ounce of sleep over it. And I'll tell you right now, I did not. And the following Sunday, we had a snowstorm. And I'm like, yay, nobody's coming to church. I think we had 15, 16 people show up for church, maybe 18 at the time. And we had one couple who visited the church. They've never visited again. They visited that one Sunday and wrote a check for enough to make up for the whole month of what that couple should have tithed. Right? And I'm going, okay, I almost went Baptist. You understand what I'm saying? It was like, Lord, I mean, and it wasn't, I wasn't praising God that the money came in. I was praising God that he shows up all the time, on time, and just says, I am God. I am the Lord. I am your provider. Trust in me. And I was so excited about that because God took my stand and he honored it. And so, guys, understand, it's not your money I want. What I want is for you to mature in Christ and understand that you can trust him. Because so many of you are greedy. And you hold your money because you don't trust God. But you use me as your excuse. And you say this, well, that pastor wants my money. I ain't giving it to him. Okay. I don't want your money. What I want is for you to mature. That's all I want. I just want you to mature in Christ. And so as we look at this, we're going to see some things here that are going to help you. So number one, seven biblical principles. Number one, Christians are stewards. If you look in 2 Corinthians 8:5. In 2 Corinthians 8:5, it says, and not only as we had hoped, but they first, look at this, they first gave what? Themselves. If you notice, Paul was so excited, not because they gave money, but because they gave themselves. See, guys, if you're a steward, you are somebody God can trust, and if God can trust you, then he's going to give you more to do more with. How many here would give their children more money after they've been irresponsible with the money they already gave them? Right? Okay, some of you are foolish enough. But if I give my girls money and I say, okay, I'm going to give you money to pay your phone bill, right? And I give them the money and then the next month they come and they go, Dad, can I borrow some money? For what? My phone bill. Well, I thought I already gave you the money to pay for your phone bill. Well, you did, but you know, I had this come up and that come up. Turn it off. The phone, I mean. I don't care about your phone anymore. Because you're not responsible. And God is no different. And God says, listen, if I can't trust you with what I have given you, then you're a poor steward, a poor manager. You don't get any more. And you know, the guys, the reality is, listen, if I owned a business and I hired a manager and the manager came in and the manager run my business into the dirt, how long do you think I'm going to keep that manager? Oh, okay, I'm not. I will fire them. Yes, fire. You say, oh, but they need the job, they need the money. I need the money too, right? We're going to fire them, and we're going to get somebody that can do it. And so Christians are stewards, and what we see here is they first gave themselves. And guys, you'll never make an investment in something until you make it your investment. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're never going to give to the Lord until the Lord becomes your Lord. They first gave of themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. And we're talking financial, guys. We're talking money. This is what they gave. And so first they gave of themselves. They said, I am the Lord's, and I will honor God with what I have. I will honor God with what I do. I will honor God with what He has given me, no matter what it is. And therefore, I will first give myself to the Lord. And then, oh, Paul, you need money for ministry? I'm in. And you know the crazy thing is, we go, well, listen, if you don't have the money, you don't give. God understands. Bullpucky. Is that a good word? That's a lie from the pit of hell. If we look at the widow and her two mites, she gave all she had. And what did God do? He honored her for that. See, because we're all to give our portion. Now, as a body of believers, as Connecting Point Church, I believe, and I have always taught, and I can take you scripturally from Genesis all the way through Revelation, where it teaches the tithe. And some of you will say, I don't agree, Pastor. Give me scripture. If you want to change my mind, scripturally come and change my mind. But I see it, listen, I see it from Adam, the tithe, all the way through. Even Jesus in the New Testament says, don't fail to tithe. Matthew 23:23. Because some of you are like, you tell me where. Right? I mean, I've got it. When I talk about money, I get all kinds of people giving me all kinds of stuff. I get all kinds of emails saying, Pastor, I don't agree with this passage. So why are you emailing me? Email God. Right? I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do with it? You don't agree with God's word. You don't have to agree with God's word. But if you're going to tell me I'm wrong, scripturally show me where I'm wrong. And then I'll change my stand, and I'll even come up here and publicly apologize. But first, you got to give yourself to God, and then you won't have a problem giving anything else to Him. If you have a problem giving your money to God, it's because you've not given yourself to God. And you go, Pastor, that's a guilt trip. I'm reading Scripture. Guys, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm not trying to be rude up here. Man, you know, guys, if we're going to fulfill the prayer that we all just prayed at the beginning of the service, we got to give ourselves to the Lord. This isn't even about money. This is just about righteous living. And the truth is, if you're not going to give your money to God, you're not going to give much of anything else to God because you haven't given yourself to God. Guys, this is all interwoven and connected, and you can't even separate it if you tried. You can't. There is no, well, hey, I love the Lord, but He doesn't want my money. I'm sorry. Do you realize one out of every six verses, Jesus talks about money? Jesus talks about money more than hell and heaven combined. Why does money matter to Jesus? Because the truth is, guys, money matters. Listen, it is either going to do an amazing work for God, or is going to remove you from God. It just does. I mean, guys, please don't misunderstand me when I'm talking about finances, because the truth of the matter is money has become people's God. It has gotten in the way of giving yourself to the Lord first. And if we're a steward, and by the way, that's what we're talking about today. Next week I'll talk about money. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. What is God's? Everything. Every human being is God's. Because, see, here's what we have to understand. Saved or unsaved, it's immaterial. Who did Christ die for? Everyone. And so when he shed his blood, he purchased each and every human being. Whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you said yes to Jesus or no to Jesus, he purchased you. He bought you. And when he bought you, he owned the rights to you. And he can use you in any form or fashion that he chooses to use you. And he can use the lost to accomplish his will. He can use the saved to accomplish his will. He can use the disobedient to accomplish his will. And he can use the obedient to accomplish his will. Because the truth is, guys, the earth is the Lord's and everybody and everything in it is God's. What are we going to do with that? Well, the truth is, guys, we also need money to accomplish his will. How do we pay for the lights? Money. How do we pay for the heat? Money. How do we pay for the air conditioning? Money. And some of you like a little of both, some of you don't like any of it. You know, how did we pay to come in here and remodel this place? Money? How do we pay for somebody else's rent who is struggling? Money? How do we pay for somebody else's electricity bill because they can't make it? Money? How do we keep things moving? Money. Why? Well, money is a tool. It's an amazing tool. It's a magnificent tool. The problem is somebody has made that tool a god. And we have to be so careful with it. Guys, if we're going to be good stewards, we also will be held accountable to what we do with God's money. So if we look at Matthew, go ahead to Matthew. Did you guys get that in Matthew 25:19? After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. See, guys, I'm telling you, we are going to have to settle our accounts with God. We will be settling our accounts with God. What do you owe God? I'm just asking. I'm not, and again, guys, this is to educate you. This is to share the Word of God with you. This is so you understand God's expectancy of you. And when we look at this, because the truth be told, for me, tithing is child's play. Tithing is that walk in the park. Tithing is like, okay, I'm done with the nipple, give me some meat. You know, tithing for me is just, I don't even know what it is. I mean, I'm so far past tithing, but some of you are so afraid to get to tithing. But we're going to give an account, and we're going to have to settle that account one day. For the Christian, it's at the judgment seat of Christ when we go up there, and he's going to ask us, what have we done? What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with what I entrusted you? And some of you are going to say, I was a poor steward and I didn't know what you were doing, I would do with it, and so therefore I kept it myself. Or therefore I hid it and I buried it. And he's going to say, you evil and wicked servant. I mean, guys, we're going to have to give an account. Look here in verse 21. 25:21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And then he says this, and I love this. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Listen, because I can trust you with a little bit, you know, as I was, my wife and I raising our daughters, and trust is a huge factor, amen? And for those of you who have children, you understand what I'm talking about. And listen, you would give your children just enough until they were able to handle it, and then you give them a little bit more, and then you give them a little bit more, and then you give them a little bit more, and then when they showed themselves able, you gave them some more, and when you said, hey, I can trust you, and here's some more, okay, I can trust, and here's some more, and so as my girls got older, they were entrusted with more, and more, and more, and more, and if they violated that trust, guess what they got? Less. Amen? You take it away. And it says here, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Listen, God says, I can give you a dollar and I trust you with it. And you were faithful with it because you took that dollar and you literally cared for it like it was the biggest thing in the world. And because it meant so much to you, I know that you're going to take care of it. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to entrust you with five. I'm going to entrust you with 10. Now 100. Now 1,000. I will entrust you because I know that you will do with what is right. I know that you will give me my portion. If you read Malachi in our Sunday school class, I have everybody in there reading Malachi every week. So for the whole month of November, and I'll challenge you guys to do the same, for the whole month of November, read through Malachi. So therefore, you should read through it 3 times. This week, next week, the following week, just through the month of November. And what you'll see through that, through the reading of Malachi, is God looked at Israel and he said, listen, I can't trust you. You have taken what is mine and you have given it to everyone else. And then you take what should have been thrown in the trash and you try to give it to me. And so God gets really angry at them. You've cheated me. You've robbed me. And they go, how have we done that, Lord? Through tithes and offerings. But then he extends this grace to them again. And God is so good. But read Malachi. From the beginning in chapter 1, God just reprimands them. Or as Holden said, God roasted them. It was a roast. And that's really what it was. Read chapter 1, read chapter 2, go into 3. And in 3, God says, listen, I'll let you turn it around. I'll let you turn it around. Just give me what's mine. Give me what is due me. Well, here's my question. What is due to God? Everything. What is ours? What do we own? Nothing. Because if we are stewards, we are simply managers of everything that God has given us. And you know the truth is, God has blessed some of you so much. And you know what you do? You say, thank you, Lord. Stick it in your pocket and forget about him. Or, oh, Lord, look at all the money you gave me. Here's 20 bucks. Go ahead and buy yourself lunch. Right? That's what some of us do. And God says, listen, if I can't trust you over the few things, how can I trust you over a whole lot? Guys, understand that as stewards, God is going to hold us accountable. Owners ask, how much of my money will I give to God? Stewards ask, how much of God's money will I keep for myself? Owners ask, when purchasing things, will I enjoy this? And sometimes, can I afford it? Or can I make the monthly payment? Because you know, so many of us say, well, if it fits in my payment, I'll take it. If it fits in my month, if I can make the payment each month, we'll do it. And oh, and by the way, we'll rob from this and to give to that. We'll make it work, even though you guys know it really doesn't work. But you'll juggle. You know, how many go, well, I'll quit smoking because $300 a month, I can make that payment. I'll quit smoking. And you get it. And what are you doing? Man, look what God gave me. This is so good. Nobody quits smoking. How many times I've heard that? Well, if I quit smoking, I go, how about this? Why don't you quit smoking first, save the money, and then pay cash for it? Wow, there's a thought. I don't know. Where'd that come from? Stewards ask, how will this purchase affect my ability to advance God's purposes? Owners say, my finances and giving are my private business. Stewards say, I will seek wise counsel so I can be faithful with God's resources. So guys, as we're looking at this and we're looking at Christians are stewards, then that point number 2, and by the way, it might take me 2 weeks to get through these 7 points. Just saying, because I'm on 2, some of you are looking at the clock going, this isn't going to happen. And you're right. You're absolutely right. This isn't going to happen this week. But we will finish next week. So number 2, giving is motivated by grace. Look here in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Keep up with me, guys. Is that all we have? What happened to two? There we go. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Now, don't leave it set here a second. That in a great trial of affliction. Okay, so we know things were already uncomfortable, right? The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. This is for those who say, I can't afford it. Abounded in the riches of their liberality. Do you guys get what this is saying? Listen, they were already being afflicted, and they were already poor. Yet, if you look here, it says the abundance of their joy, which, by the way, joy only comes from the Lord. Happiness comes from happenings, right? Hey, there's a happening. We just bought a new car, so we're happy. And then the first payment comes in, and then we're sad because it's a happening, right? Happenings absolutely control our emotions if we're not careful. But you need to see here that the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in wealth. Now, you say, wow, they got rich? Not financially rich. Wealth in Christ. Which means when you look at this, God blessed them immeasurably, and however he chose to do it, whether it was with finances, whether it was with their needs being met, however he chose to do it. And maybe it was just joy in their heart in a time of great affliction, and they just had contentment and peace for being obedient. But it says that it abounded in their what? No, abounded in their, come on guys, read. Their liberality, it abounded. Listen, their joy and their riches abounded because they were giving. And they, listen, guys, it's easy for a wealthy man to give $500. But when you take somebody who writes that tithe check and they look at it and they go, Lord, you know I need it. But Lord, my joy is in you, and my trust is in you, and my riches are in you. And so Lord, I'm going to write this out because I believe your promises. I believe you're going to take care of me. I believe that I cannot outgive you. And so Lord, here's my tithe check, and it's $20. But it's 10%. It's their tithe. And their bills are in desperate need of that $20. The Bible says that God is a debtor to nobody. In other words, you give him that 20 out of obedience and out of joy for your poverty, from your poverty. This doesn't say he's given from the riches. This says that they gave out of their poverty and their great affliction. But yet they were liberal in their giving. They were freely giving. And God says, man, I will bless you and I will multiply that. Now, you know, we don't always see it in money coming back. Sometimes the multiplication is somebody just coming up to you and going, man, God just laid it on my heart to give you a $100 bill. Or, man, God just laid it on my heart to fix your car. You don't even see a dime. No money was exchanged, but God took that $20 and he paid for a $400 repair bill. Just through using somebody. No money. Nothing. You didn't get rich. You didn't get wealthy. You didn't take the $20 and say, this is an investment, Lord. Now it's 100-fold, so give me $2,000 back. No, God said, I'm going to take care of that repair bill for you. When we give, God blesses. when we're stingy and greedy and we say, Lord, you know I need this $20 and I need it more than you do because, Lord, you already own everything. Why do I need to give you $20? You own it all. I'll just keep this for me. You have just cheated yourself from a touch from God. That's exactly what happened. 2 Corinthians 8:3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Listen, they said, and you guys, you got to go back and read this whole passage and study it out. It is an amazing thing how God says, listen, not only did they give for what they had, but they went beyond their ability. They gave more than they had, so much so that Paul said, no, I can't take your money. And they go, whoa, hold on a minute. You can't rob us of this blessing either. They were so right with God and so trusted God that when Paul said, no, I can't take your money, they said, oh, you can't say no. Can you imagine if the Christian gave first themselves to God and then they gave everything else that was God's to him because they were good stewards? Can you imagine where these churches would be today? Let me give you a beautiful example. The government was making a threat if the churches didn't go along with the political agenda with same-sex marriages and so on and so forth, the government said, listen, well, here's what we'll do. If you don't go along with it, we'll pull your tax-exempt status. This is what's in the making. This is what they're talking about so that the churches will fall in line with the things of man. And a lot of these churches are like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Because the truth is, if they don't fall in line and they lose their tax-exempt status, they cannot afford the taxes on the building, so they're going to lose the property. If they lose the property, the church closes down. Swift move, right? But I'm just going to tell you that if God's people stepped up, the church would say, take my tax-exempt status. It's okay, because we love God and we're going to give of our ability and beyond our ability. We'll pay the taxes. We will pay for the right to keep preaching truth. Take our exempt status. It's okay. But instead, because Christians are holding on and they're not giving of their ability and they're not giving beyond their ability, most Christians, and I'm going to say this, Connecting Point Church is an exception to the rule on tithing and giving. You guys, I'm going to tell you, you guys do awesome. The bills are always paid. We have been debt-free since the very beginning. Everything that you see that has in this building and has ever come into this building, we paid cash for it, bringing it in. There was not a bill the next month. It was paid for in cash. But there's a lot of churches that are struggling to pay their light bill. But can you imagine what would happen if everybody took the mentality of what we're seeing here in 2 Corinthians? If they gave of their ability and beyond their ability, if they said, listen, God, this is all about you and not about me. God, I don't want to be a tipper. God, I want to be a tither. God, I don't want to just give you of what I think is okay. God, I want to give you what is yours because I don't want to rob from you. Wow. I can only imagine what would happen in the churches and how the gospel would be spread. And I love how some people go, well, I tithe, I just put it where I want. And if I want to buy somebody a pair of shoes, that's my tithe. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you give it to the Lord. That's the tithe. If you want to buy somebody a pair of shoes, that's giving. And so what we have to understand is a tithe is a debt we owe, and we don't like to use that word debt. And you're like, Pastor, we're not in debt. We're in debt to God. And so tithe is a debt we owe, and giving is a seed we sow. And so if you want to buy somebody a pair of shoes, you're giving. That's the seed that you're sowing. But it does not negate your tithe. And by the way, if you direct where your tithe goes, you didn't tithe, you gave. See how simple all this is when we... I know some of you are like, I don't like you today, Pastor. You probably didn't like me when you woke up then. It's okay. So 2 Corinthians 8:4. Imploring us. Now, look what they did. First off, they were in great affliction. And not only were they in great affliction, but they were in poverty. Do you guys remember what all this was saying? They were in great affliction. They were in poverty. They gave of their ability, which wasn't much, and then they gave beyond their ability, which was just amazing in and of itself. And Paul said no, and they, you know what they did? You know what that word imploring means? They begged them. Take this gift. We want to be blessed by God. Take this gift. God has said, we've given ourselves to God, and so therefore God has laid this on our heart, and we're going to give this to God. And Paul, you cannot tell us no. And so they were imploring. They were saying, Paul, you have to take this. Imploring us with much urgency. They understood the times that they were in. They understood the necessity of the gospel being preached. They understood that without Christ, people were dying and going to hell. They understood, because you know what? The truth is, guys, there's nothing different back in the time of 2 Corinthians as what there is today. People were still dying and going to hell. And what they have here is you have a group of people imploring with Paul with much urgency. Boy, if we looked at the lost world with the urgency that they were looking at the lost world, that we would receive the gift and it wasn't, look what just happened here. It was the gift and the fellowship. They said, hey, look, let me give you this gift and let's hang out together. They, not only was it a financial investment, but it was a personal investment. Guys, as Christians, we need to do both. We need to, listen, we need to give to the ministry, because the Bible says to do that so that the ministry goes on. Because the truth is, guys, without money, the ministry doesn't go on. It dies right here. But then we need to make it a personal investment and give of ourselves. So many people go, oh, here's a check. I'm out. No. You give the check, and then you say, what else can I do? How can I get involved? How can I get my hands dirty? And they urged them with much, implored them much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering. Not the serving. That wasn't the word used here. The word used here is ministering. Ministering to who? The saints. Guys, we got to take care of each other. We got to take care of each other. We have to invest financially. How many of you, I'm just curious, how many of you sitting here today got saved since you've come to Connecting Point Church? How many of you gave your life to Christ since coming to Connecting Point Church? Yeah, raise your hand loud and proud. Don't be shy. I'm not going to call you up here. Oh, look at that. You can take your hands down. Do you know why you guys got saved because of Connecting Point Church? Because people invested into the ministry for you to come to hear the truth, and then to be raised up in maturity. How many of you have matured in Christ because of Connecting Point Church? Raise your hand. Golly, baby, not really. Woo! That'll get you excited. You guys didn't see what I saw or seen, whichever is the proper. I'm always corrected every week. Pastor, you never use see, saw, and seen correctly. So I'll throw it all in there and you guys figure it out. So you guys didn't see what I just saw. Bless you. I'd like to tell you I'll remember that, but I probably won't. But listen, you guys didn't see what I just saw. But it is because of your investment. It is because you gave of yourself and you gave of your finances and you gave to the Lord that people come in here and they go, I have grown, I have matured, I have gained understanding. How many have heard the song, Thank You, Lord, thank you for giving the gift. Where is my wife? She would know what it is. Thank you for giving the, yeah, Milton, you'd know what it is. You guys know what it is. I'm a life that has been changed. Yeah, that's what I said. I am a life that's been changed. Oh, no. He was saying, I am a life that's been changed. But think about that. How many lives have been changed because you gave to the Lord? And then I ask you this. What's that worth to you personally? And then just imagine what it's worth to somebody else. the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. There is no escaping. No escaping what giving does. Verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for whose sake? Ours. For my sake. Let's read that, only you say, for my sake, right? Yet for my sake he became poor. And we go, poor? I don't want to be poor. Yet there was no cost too great for Jesus to endure, because there was nothing more valuable for him to die than you and me. Yet for my sake he became poor, that I, through his poverty, might become rich. Guys, this isn't about your money. This is about your spiritual maturity and your vitality, which I will talk about next week, to invest and make a difference in somebody else's life that is poor. And by the way, you could have the money of a multi-billionaire and still be poor. Madonna said, I have all of this money, and yet I'm the most empty. There's got to be more to life than this. And then you talk to somebody who has nothing, and they'll tell you, Jesus, 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 how sweet the name. Through him I'm rich. Through him I have everything. Through him I have peace. I have contentment. It's through Christ becoming poor that we became rich. And I'll finish up with this in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. It's just amazing. I just come up with no words. I'm looking at indescribable and I can't even add words to this. I think of my salvation. I think of what I've gained. I think of who I am. My mother-in-law, who I love dearly, she sent me a text and I didn't respond. I'm sorry, I will call you today. I love you. She's watching. And she sent me a birthday card, and in the birthday card, she said, without Christ, I do believe you'd be dead right now. She understood my life before the indescribable gift. And I thought about that. You know, because so many guys or people will say, well, I'd be dead if it wasn't for Jesus. Well, you know, the truth is, I was reckless. I was careless. I didn't care. I didn't care about your life. I didn't care about my life. I did. You talk about the epitome of stupid. That was me. I hurt a lot of people. I hurt a lot of people's feelings. I did. Oh my goodness, what I did before I was saved. And it's only because of people like you in another church, in another state, in another city, that gave so that I could be a life that was changed. And then here I am today, investing and trying to get you to do what so many have done to get you saved. Guys, as we look at this and we understand what stewards are, my goal is to get us to just see how important it is that everything we have is God's. That if we're going to make the difference, we have to invest. Some of you are going to go, I can't afford it. I'm just going to be quite honest with you. You can't afford not to. And some of you are going to go, well, what about the poor widow lady who is on welfare and disability and blah, 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 blah. Man, her most of all needs God's hand. I can point out several in here who will tell you right up front, if it wasn't for the hand of God meeting their needs, I don't know how the needs would be met. Guys, this isn't about your money. This is about us becoming trustworthy stewards to make a difference in this world for God's glory. It's just money's the tool to do it in a lot of cases. If you're going to drive to somebody's house, you need money to put gas in the tank. If you're going to make somebody a meal, you need money for the food. If you're going to buy somebody the clothing they need, you need money. If you're going to pay their bill, you need their money, or you need money. If you, no matter what you're going to do, if you're going to do something for somebody, you're going to need the money to make it happen. And that's what I'm talking about. Being a steward of what God has entrusted us with to make the difference in people's lives. What does that look like? Oh my goodness. Just looks like giving ourselves to the Lord first. Then everything else falls into place. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you have entrusted us. Lord, you have called upon us. Lord, you have commanded us. Lord, you've commanded us to give. You've commanded us to go. You've commanded us to surrender. You have commanded us to follow. Lord, you have commanded us so many things. Because, Lord, the things that you've commanded us to do just shows our love and our commitment to you. It shows our maturity level. Lord, it shows so much about us. Lord, it shows our relationship with you. Lord, it shows where you are in our life and who you are in our life. It shows the importance of where you are in our life. So Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would touch each and every one of us. Lord, that we should understand that if we give to you, you're going to give back, Lord, because you're a debtor to no one. Lord, help us to understand that we can trust you more than we can trust a dollar. But yet, Lord, if we give that dollar to you, you make it go so far. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards of what you entrusted us with, Lord, so that when we see that you can, when you, Lord, know and we know that you can trust us with the little, Lord, you'll trust us with the lot. With every head bowed in here, every eye closed, I have to ask you this question. Who is your God? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Or is your money and your job your Lord and Savior? I want to give you an opportunity right now that if Jesus is not your Lord, that you can change that today. Because the truth is, you're not going to be blessed by God if you're not God's. And you're not going to heaven if you're not God's. And and nothing in your life is going to change if you're not God's. And so I challenge you to give your life to Christ right now so that he is the Lord of your life and he can bless you and he can help you and he can take care of you and he can grow you and learn you and teach you and all the things that comes with being a child of God. You say, well, Pastor, how does that happen? It's real easy. You pray this prayer. But before you pray the prayer, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins and for mine, that he conquered death and hell. He's at the right hand of the Father. That's what Romans 10, 9, and 10 says. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so if you believe all that about Jesus, then you simply pray this prayer. Now, the words don't save you. It is the fact that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that saved you. The prayer, the words are just kind of a map to carry you through it. And so if it's your desire to give your life to Christ, you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have served myself for many years. I have done what I wanted to do. I have done the things that please me rather than the things that please you. But I want to be a steward. I want to be a steward of yours, and I want to be a good steward. So today I repent. I repent of all the wrong I've ever done. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to touch me.